The apartment rebellion will not be televised. Resident experience will be more than a buzzword. Staff experience will finally matter. It's happening right now. It's in the hands of the doers, the innovators, the boundary pushers who are moving the industry forward, just like the people on this show. This is the Apartment Rebels Podcast, hosted by Flamingo CEO Jude Chi. Welcome, friends of the rebellion, and may the force be with you.
So welcome to the latest episode of Flamingo's Apartment Rebels Podcast, recording live from NAA. So you can probably hear some of that noise.
Yeah, they're cheering for us already.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, that's pretty good. So I'm really happy to and excited to have Aaron Foreman on the latest episode. So you recently joined OK to Charge. Prior to that, you have really been an industry insider for the multifamily industry. Yeah. So when we talk about like rebels, you really are a rebel. You have done everything from real pitch, better NOI to Yield. Is it, what was it?
Yield Technologies. Technologies. That was Rent Sentinel, Rent Social. People probably
So you have really been, when we say an apartment rebel, you really like embody that.
Thank you.
How did you get started in the industry?
Yeah, great question. So got started in the industry. I was president of Chicago's Oracle User Group, and I was more in the Oracle technology. And I was holding an event at the 66th floor of the Sears Tower, now Willis Tower, and Amley
Residential.
No, I can't help myself. Sears Tower, Chicago thing. So Amley Residential was acquired by Morgan Stanley Real Estate for $2.5 billion. And Amley had an amazing Oracle technology stack. So Morgan Stanley, it's amazing. And they spent so much money. I can't tell you how much money, but it was a lot on that infrastructure. And it was just brilliantly done. So Morgan Stanley actually paid an extra amount for that operating platform. And so I was brought in as a consultant to lead this group called Yield Technologies to take the Oracle platform that Amley had built and start to deploy it. So Safeguard Self-Storage is one of our first clients.
Deployed across different companies, so deployed more within Amley.
Within Morgan Stanley. So Morgan Stanley at the time had $100 billion of assets under management. Which included their multifamily and other portfolios. One of them was Safeguard Self-Storage. So we're taking that multifamily and the data warehouse, a point of sale, all these different platforms, and applying that in different real estate verticals. So I brought my Oracle and technology background, and Amley and the Morgan Stanley team taught me real estate at the time. And then this is around 2006. Then the financial crisis hit in 2008. Everyone was in free fall, including Morgan Stanley. So they changed our charter to let us sell external. So we started to sell a platform.
Sell the product itself.
Sell the product, exactly. And it was called Yield Vision initially. It was a data warehouse platform. We had a few clients that bought it. But what I learned very quickly is that our real estate industry, you know this as well as anybody, is not going to pay the normal consulting cost of a $250,000 upfront. Exactly. My Oracle mind was thinking, I sold the Port of Oakland near us here, a $10 million contract. That was my mindset. Real estate.
Very different.
Very exactly. But I had a fortuitous meeting in Chicago. Mark Benioff was in town and he had a luncheon.
CEO of Salesforce.
And this is 2007 or so. And he had a luncheon in Chicago. About 50 people came to it. And I was fascinated by Salesforce at the time. And he talked about this recurring revenue, software as a service type concept. It was kind of revolutionary at the time because people were still thinking.
A
long time ago, right?
So it's crazy how quickly things like change. But now it's just like, what everything is.
Exactly, you're paying for subscription with everything. So at the time, it was revolutionary. So I actually changed from this Yield Vision large data warehouse. We created a platform called Rent Sentinel. It's because we started to build marketing technology, but that's because we saw in our data warehouse, a very large spend with very little visibility was marketing dollars. Apartments.com, rent.com. How effective is it? Nobody knew. All they knew is, they bring good bagels. I like this person over there. So we put the data on top of it to say, okay, this is how much cost per lease, phone calls, emails, click-throughs, views. And then what we found is Craigslist was the top platform. So we built all those platforms and it really took off from there. And that's the first company that I sold to RealPage was Rent Sentinel. And then we also built Rent Social, which is kind of an early social media based ILF.
That is so cool. I didn't actually realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a crazy story. Definitely a rebel.
Yeah.
I was like episode 1 through 3.
Yeah.
You probably weren't around.
We might need to have you back on, even though it isn't like over yet. We might need to have you on to dig even like deeper.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
So then is that how you kind of made your way into RealPage then?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So then I was bought by RealPage. Steve Wynn put me in a great position to lead LeaStar.
Yeah.
So that was my new place. It was the website's business. Mm-hmm. It was Lead the Lease, their CRM at the time. Mm-hmm. So leading all those different platforms and then merging them together into one technology stack. It was fascinating. So I did that for about 2 years.
Cool.
And really enjoyed it. And then I was recruited away by the McCombs family, Red McCombs, out of San Antonio.
That what did they do?
They're a big private equity firm. Mm-hmm. But they had invested in a multifamily entity called eSupply Systems.
Got it.
So they needed a CEO. They're going through some tough times trying to raise some money. Mm-hmm. And they brought me in. So I came in to turn, really to make it a rocket ship.
Yeah.
What I realized that there was a little bit, there's faults with their business model, to be frank. So I turned around the business model, escalated some really great team members, and actually sold that to RealPage as well.
Oh, wow.
In about 2 years.
Another one.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the second one. And I had some great team members there, and some are still at RealPage, and then they built that company up. But I had this idea for Apartment Jet while I was running eSupply Systems. So the day we sold eSupply Systems to RealPage, signed in the documents with Steve Lynn that morning. That afternoon, I was in court.
You were already thinking about the next one.
I was already thinking about the next one, because I already agreed with Steve that I would do a 3-month consulting agreement.
Yeah.
So I was writing Court Furniture's Cuban. What were the genesis for that idea?
Mm-hmm.
Is I was at an event. I don't know if you've met Jaja Jackson. He was with Airbnb. Brilliant young man. He was on the hot seat because he's talking about Airbnb and multifamily.
Mm-hmm. Which everyone they hated. It was not the time.
It was so bad. And he's sitting in front of NMHC Annual. Actually, he dialed in, which is much worse at one point. And he said, "Isn't it great that all our residents are listing at Airbnb?"
Yeah, that's amazing, guy. That is awesome. Yeah,
that was not awesome. So you get all this anger. And I heard one person on stage, he was very angry. And he said, "It feels like I own a car dealership and Uber drivers just drive around in my car."
Yeah.
He was so mad. So I thought, there's something here. Yeah. So I built a platform by interviewing the largest execs, whether it's Equity or Graystar or UDR, talking to them about their different use cases for the sharing economy. And this was must have been, 2016 maybe, so still kind of early. So sold that company, but built they said, "Well, what's an issue?" "Well, we don't want somebody that hasn't been vetted, has a background check." So I partnered with TransUnion and did background checks.
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, what if somebody lights a candle and it burns the place down?" So I partnered with Assurant and did insurance for one-night stays. And then we syndicated the availability of these empty units, say like 3 or 4 corporate units, onto Airbnb and Vrbo. And then we were making probably 25-30% more than their monthly leases for these properties with their empty, unoccupied guest units. Yeah, wow. So they loved it. And that took off, and then Expedia Group bought that.
As soon as she showed them the money, they're like, maybe, how am I running this?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, they're vetted, they're insured. Yeah, we can, and we're making money. Exactly. And
so what was like the percentage like premium over like if they just rented that on like a yearly like lease?
Yeah, great question. It was a different mindset because someone would stay. So I'm at a Graystar property for this conference doing exactly what I created.
Wow.
I'm staying at a unit.
Yeah, only a use case. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
For 3 nights. And I found it on Vrbo.
Yeah.
So you stay for 3 nights, but you're paying, I think I'm paying probably $700 a night for this because there's nothing else available, but I'm just across the street.
Yeah.
For that $700 a night, so they're going to make a great premium on it. But it's a value to me as well because I'm not staying in a hotel and I'm able to have this great experience and I'm nearby.
Yeah.
So it's hard to put a number on it because it varied. We'd have everything from an Austin-based property, which maybe it was renting at the time for maybe $2,200 and they were getting closer to $4,800 per month. Yes, exactly.
So it's like double.
Double. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah. And then we had, but something that we're seeing changing right now is you're seeing an Airbnb in their Q1 call. They had over 20% of their stays were greater than 28 days.
Yeah.
So they're coming into multifamily.
They have definitely been putting that out there since like the pandemic, like, which makes sense because people are like, "Hey, I can kind of live anywhere. It seems like I like work anywhere."
The nomad capitalist, right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I sold that to Expedia Group.
And so Expedia, like, what was their interest for wanting to buy a company like that?
Yeah. They saw when we were integrating with Vrbo, they saw the average daily rent, mm-hmm. Which is a nightly mm-hmm. rent. And they saw the occupancy that we had.
Yeah.
And they had never seen numbers like this
really? Before
so quickly. So they were fascinated by that. At simultaneously, they were buying Pillow, mm-hmm. which is for the residents to share. They saw an opportunity to buy up Pillow and Apartment Jet, two of the top companies in the space at the mm-hmm. time. And they did a really nice job acquiring us and closed within the same week.
Wow. So you guys like,
knew. No, neither of us knew. So we were kind of like competitors. Sneaky, yeah. It was very sneaky, but yeah. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant chess move.
Yeah.
All of us were playing checkers.
Yeah.
They're playing chess.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was great. So it was a great experience. Mm-hmm. And I was put in charge of the multifamily group, so Pillow and Apartment Jet.
Yeah.
And we were rolling out all these great companies. And then the pandemic hit.
Oh. Yeah.
And you can imagine if you're a multifamily owner operator, you don't want travelers coming and going during a COVID pandemic. Yeah. So that's we had to ramp everything down. We actually pivoted some of the technology mm-hmm. to help out first responders.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty exciting. Oh, yeah.
So kind of got them places like that.
Yeah, exactly. So nurses and even fire, first responders in New York City, especially, mm-hmm. we're able to kind of pivot that tech a little bit. So mm-hmm. I felt pretty honored that we were able to leave a little bit of a legacy before we moved on. Yeah, and that was kind of, I didn't have a great idea yet. Mm-hmm. You know, as an entrepreneur, you usually have that next great. And for me, unless I just can't, you know, I have to do it, you know, if I can't shake it, you know, it is, I'm not going to do it. And I didn't have that idea just yet. So I found an opportunity great with Inhabit IQ.
Yeah.
But it was such an amazing opportunity to manage their vacation, residential and commercial divisions.
Yeah.
It was exactly.
So what exactly is Inhabit IQ?
It's a private family office mm-hmm. That is partnered with very large private equity groups. Mm-hmm. Initially, it was Providence, and then it was Insight Partners, and then lately is Goldman Sachs that have put money in this entity.
Powerhouses.
Yeah, it's a powerhouse. And you don't really know about it, but if you look across a couple rows over, there's Resman. Mm-hmm. So while I was there, we bought Resman. And also bought Anyone Home. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at Resman, it's a hub. And then around that is a spoke of different mm-hmm. Brands. So like Property Boss or ePremium, the insurance company, or American Utility. There's different groups mm-hmm. as well, Nationwide Compliant. So you'll have different entities that are within that Inhabit umbrella, and they all work together.
Got it.
Yeah. It used to be called, Apartment Brands. And then there was Vacation Brands, and they merged them together. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, wow.
It's a fascinating company. Yeah, it's growing and growing. Yeah. And then,
but then
I just had this concept, you know? So that was when I've been whiteboarding at my home office. I had EV charging / parking in multifamily. I had solar. So I'm going to give everybody my, thoughts, you know? And then the third one was more office space sharing, kind of WeWork, but more of the Apartment Jet model. And I was actually at a conference in Chicago last mm-hmm. year at that event. And I ran into these gentlemen that had had a charger in their booth. Mm-hmm. And I started talking to them and I said, well, what's this charger doing here? Mm-hmm. And we're going back and forth, and it had about 80% of the functionality that I had whiteboarded in my mind
really?
And on my board. And I said, well, what's going on here? And we chatted for a while until we got to the point where they said, you want to be a partner or run this thing?
Yeah,
I do actually. Like, it's a passion of mine. I own a Tesla. You know, I'm doing the charging thing. And then you can see that marriage of vacation and multifamily and charging fits in all these different spots.
Yeah.
And there's a need to do it in a unique way that's mm-hmm. valuable to these property owners and operators.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the company's okay to charge.
Okay to charge.
Yeah. And where does the name come from? I'm curious.
I'm glad you asked. Yeah. So the concept is someone pulls up and they said, hey, can I charge here? Yes, it's okay to charge for you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where it's a QR code and we vet it individually with the individual. So if we're looking at the vacation industry is a perfect example. That's where we're really focused right now. Mm-hmm. And we're just now getting to know and asking questions in multifamily of how to create a value prop. Mm-hmm. In the vacation, we integrate with the top 10 property management systems. Mm-hmm. So just like in multifamily, there's RealPage and Yardi.
Yeah.
Then vacation, it's Streamline and Guesty and all these great platforms. And hostfully, we pull everything down to one person, one night, one stay. We load that into our system. So when you pull up to a charger, you'll know that, okay, Jude has June 15th to June 30th at this property. You scan the QR code, you confirm it's you. Now that charger is active only for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So for vacation rentals, ignore my ignorance.
No, please.
But when I think of vacation rentals, it's not a huge, it's not a huge place with a lot of different, units or a lot of different options. I typically have vacation rentals like as a single property, like a one bedroom that's by itself somewhere.
Right.
So for what you guys are thinking about, these are places that have like multiple different.
Yeah. Just like in our space, there's professionalization in the vacation space. So you may own two or three properties, but you'll have a property manager that is managing 150 of those properties in a region. So you'll say like a Scenic Stays is in Florida and then Breckenridge, there'll be an area and there'll be a, there'll be a property manager that manages. It's much like fee managers and asset owners and multifamily. Okay. Same thing. You'll have these individual owners of vacation properties and then there'll be a manager that manages 150, 200 of them. So we position it with them and these owners still buy it.
Got it.
But we're managing through them.
Got it.
Yeah.
So like how many, and then how many of the charging stations like go to like one place, and how does that work? How to
Yeah, like so right, vacation, to your point, single property, single charger generally. If it's a resort where they maybe have 20, 30 units, we might put four chargers in there so people can come in and charge and do different things. And we'll still integrate with their property management system. In multifamily, we're seeing anywhere from 10 to 20% need. And there's a difference between the chargers you install now and the infrastructure you install. So you may put an infrastructure in place for up to 20% of your units. So if you have 200 units, 40 units, 40 chargers, but you might not install all 40 chargers right away. Exactly. Because if you're pulling trenches and putting in a different substation or something to power these, you want to put that in place now because we're looking at probably some stats for you is that we just learned in Colorado, 16% of the cars sold to date in Colorado are electric vehicles.
Oh, wow.
So it's really changing the dynamic. And then that's ahead of what we anticipated.
Yeah.
Because we're anticipating 2022 to have about 12.5% of the cars sold in the U.S. But the difference is that the length of time people hold on to cars is longer. So we're anticipating by 2030, you know, about 38 to 40% of the vehicles on the road will be electric.
Yeah.
It's a big number.
So I'm curious then for the vacation rentals, so what is the main like value prop to that? Is it like revenue share? Is it just like customer satisfaction? Is it like, and so, and what's like the business model?
All the above, all the above. So if you're traveling to, you know, the Outer Banks with your family and you want to, you don't want to drop off the kids and go drive into town and power up the supercharger. You want to park, enjoy your life. So it's quality of life, quality of travel experience is number one. So that's keep them coming back for more. Secondary is to have a revenue return on that investment and that electricity costs. That gets pretty expensive. If someone's charging, especially if you're not controlling it, you get some Uber driver that has a Tesla. That's like
that
it's genius.
Be very expensive.
Yeah, you're just drawing it off all day long. So let's get some cost recovery there. Yeah, so it's an amenity that people can charge for.
And then I know you mentioned that for multifamily right now, it's still like at the initial stages.
Yes.
But what does that look like at the moment?
Yeah, multifamily, there's a lot of different iterations of it. There's individual units. Say if you have your garage unit, we have a dedicated parking spot. People have that in there. There's a couple of groups here as well that I'm competing against, as you can imagine. They're mainly these RFID cards that you connect and touch with it and things like that. But we believe that you need to have more of a technology integration where everyone has their cell phone. They connect, they download it, they're able to charge. So it's really important to have that 360 degree communication with them. And to be frank, we're still learning. That's why we're here, is to listen and to gain as much knowledge as possible.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I've cracked that code just yet in the EV charging. I think there's something unique. Haven't quite dialed it in, but I know I will.
So what are, for right now, but what are some of like your theories for multifamily, like what the NOI or what the impact for an owner or an operator?
NOI is always the right question, as you know, as well as anybody. It's the difference is that today, if you have 4% of the cars in your lot, the NOI is a little bit more difficult if you're doing a transaction base where it's a shared charger, because there's not as many transactions. So I think the opportunity in that space is to actually do allocated, dedicated. So you could say to a resident, that's $50 a month, that's $100 a month. And then you'll have, then you can do a quick math recovery on that. The second part is really where there's more and more vehicles, especially in regions like Denver or Austin. You have some cities in California where there's a little bit more higher income demographic, more electric cars. So then it becomes almost a reason. We had somebody just came in our booth and they said, we've actually lost leases because we don't have EV charging.
Oh, wow.
So now it almost becomes if you don't have it, you're lost, you know? So it's a different.
So it's like pretty simple and clear value prop there.
It should be. Yeah. It should be. Yeah. I think every construction company's thinking about it now.
Yeah.
And that's where we're playing as well. We're talking to a construction group right now. They were going to put individual meters on each one of their chargers. That was going to be $300,000 of extra cost for them. with our platform, software platform, they can remove that. Mm-hmm. So they've just paid for all of their devices by removing those, because we can tell you not just which charger is going to which, you know, how much energy, mm-hmm. but even who is charging how much. So we can even allocate that. So I was talking to a utility firm as well. So we can actually send you a ledger at the end of the month and say, John Smith, unit 101, yeah, 26 kilowatts hour, you know, boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
So on the vacation rental side, you mentioned that part of how it works is you've integrated with the 20 plus systems that I use.
That's right.
So you can allocate that this person is going to this vacation site, so they can use this. They just need to go in, scan a QR code, and it works.
That's right.
On the property manager side, like, what does that interface look like? Or how would a resident be able to access it or turn it on for themselves?
Absolutely. Like yourself, you know that these property managers needs to be the easy button.
Yeah.
So a lot of our clients hardly ever look at the platform. Mm-hmm. However, we give them a username, password, mm-hmm. they can log in. What we're finding now is that most of these property managers use it to see which chargers are working or not. So it almost becomes a maintenance activity.
Yeah.
So there was an article that was written about San Francisco. More than 25% of the chargers in San Francisco are inoperable right now.
Oh, really?
In Silicon Valley.
Is it because things just like breaking down or like what?
It's used, it's disarray, and there's not maintenance activity, not people watching it and keeping on top of it. And we're starting to talk to even multifamily owners right now. They said, since we spoke to you, we went and looked at some properties. We can't believe we found these two chargers that have been installed. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows where they came from. They came with the acquisition. They're just sitting there rusting out. They're not even used. So we're saying, let's pop those off, put ours on, let's monetize these and make an amenity.
Yeah. Wow. So for the property managers and the operators on the multifamily side,
yes.
As you kind of think about those conversations you've had,
yes.
and as you kind of walked around here to talk to more people,
yes.
like what's the reaction and what are some of like the initial, hey, this is why we might want to use this. Like, what are some of the things that they want to do it besides, like, hey, we might lose the lease because we don't have it.
That's right. So yeah, multiple scenarios. Mm-hmm. If it's an easier sell in conversation if they've lost leases mm-hmm. because they know the need is there. If they're not sure and they're not connected to their teams, let's say you get a C-suite executive that's wondering about it, it's really more of an educational activity because there's so many different types of chargers. So there's level one, level two, level three. Level one is like plugging into a wall outlet, 110 volt. Level two is where we play, which is, and I should go back, the level one that plugs in the wall outlet, you're adding about 2 miles per hour to your car when you charge it. So that's a level one charger. A level two charger, 220 volt, mm-hmm. anywhere from 32 amps up to 80 amps. And that's where we play.
Yeah.
And that's adding anywhere from like 25 miles per hour to 60 miles per hour added to your battery charge. And then there's a level three, which is a DC supercharger, the fast chargers like the Tesla. And those can push, you know, 120, 150 miles per hour into your, and sometimes more for some of these devices.
Oh, wow.
So that's where like the different levels. So that's where the education comes in and talking about. And the bigger part is more of a, I mentioned earlier, a collaborative conversation mm-hmm. about saying, how are we going to bill our residents for this? And there's so many different options. We haven't reached that standard yet.
Got it.
Do we bill the resident for a dedicated unit? Is it shared? Is it a monthly fee? Is it a per use fee? And even the utilities and the regulatory agencies haven't caught up yet. So it's a really nascent, evolving industry.
Yeah. And I imagine that for the operators, one of the things that they want to know, like, hey, what are the revenue share like opportunities for this.
That's
like,
right. Yeah. That's right. So we're modeling that out right now. Mm-hmm. And the revenue share we're doing right now is at least 80% revenue back to the property managers.
Oh, really?
We think we have to do it.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And we're a software player. It is a lot. Yeah. It's on purpose because, don't tell anybody, but we're doing a land grab.
Yeah.
You know, let's just call it what it is. You know, we need to be the Kleenex brand. You know, we need to, just like when people say vacation rentals, they say Airbnb.
Yeah.
And when they say chargers, I want them to say okay to charge. Yeah. You know, so, do you guys have okay to charge? Yeah. You know, we don't, you know.
Is it okay to charge here?
Exactly. Is it okay to charge? I had a funny, funny side story. Yeah. Talking to the people here at the exhibition hall.
Yeah.
And they walked by our booth because we got it last minute, as you and I were talking about earlier. And they said, who has this booth? Oh, don't worry, it's okay to charge. Like, well, yeah, we probably have their credit card.
Yeah.
They're all going to be.
It's like, what's that baseball thing?
Yeah, exactly. Who's on third? Yeah. No, what's on second? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So then for you all, since you are new, like kind of like a CEO, kind of getting a lay of the land, like what are your next steps and priorities?
Yeah, so right now I'm finishing up my fundraise right now, raising a seed round.
Yeah.
We're almost done with that, raising a couple $1 million. Mm-hmm. Should finish that up at the end of the month here.
Yeah.
So another week and a half. So really, really sprinting towards this, towards the end.
And early congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you. And then what we're doing with that is we're hiring on great salespeople. We just hired a great individual, Wes English. He's our new CRO from Expedia Group. Yep. So he's outstanding. I worked with him before. And building up the team and being present at events like this.
Yeah, this idea matters so much.
That's right. Yeah, you have to be here and be present. And then we're going to start sending people out in the field and just start to, like I said, grab as much land as possible, as early as possible, and do a lot of education. Mm-hmm. And part of that education is not us as well. We have to listen because we don't have all the answers just yet. I don't think anybody does. So we really have to collaborate with as an industry and figure out what makes sense. There was, I commented on an NAA post. There's some underground underground some bills in the Northeast called right to charge.
Yeah,
where residents try to get this bill passed where they can force the asset owner to install it to force them to have it. Yeah, that's not right. You know, I mean it's nice and altruistic.
Yeah,
but that's where our industry should make that decision, right? Yeah. The asset owner should make that. It shouldn't be forced upon them. That's when bad decisions.
Yeah,
So we want to get ahead of it.
Yeah, and I love what you said earlier, and you said it now as well that. A lot of things are like listening and talking to them to really understand, like, hey, I know that our theory is that this is something that's like needed and this is how we want to do it.
Right.
And these are the reasons why we think you should do it. But hey, we don't know everything. Like,
that's
talk
right.
to us about it.
Exactly.
So I really like love that approach that
you
have taken. Yeah.
Yeah. I've stumbled enough times in my startups. I've learned to listen. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if you think, I like to think I'm a pretty smart guy, there's always somebody smarter. There's always somebody that's thought it more deeply. And I like to really think things through thoroughly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's called a T4, things through thoroughly and really, really take a step back and go, did I think about that right? Am I really digging in deep enough?
Yeah. And then, so since there are kind of multiple approaches to this, so you've already mentioned like the vacation rentals and now it's looking at the multifamily.
That's right.
What are the other like segments you guys are thinking about and how do you then prioritize what you focus on?
Very difficult to prioritize because there's so many opportunities. As an entrepreneur, that's always a tough
it's
problem,
a challenge,
right?
Yeah.
So we, interestingly enough, we landed a contract. I can't say the name yet, but it's a household name that we landed in Florida. And we're just installing, but their platform is actually Oracle Hospitality. So it's my career is coming full circle. But Oracle Hospitality is a major platform, which gives us an entree into these large hotels and large resorts. So it'll be almost difficult not to go in that space. Yeah. But just here at this event, we're walking across, just down the street, there's a hotel and there's two electric vehicles charging. They're not paying anything. They're sitting in one of the best parking spots in all of San Diego.
Really?
And it was a Chevy Volt and I think it was a Tesla 3 just charging. I think it was a General Electric charger. General Electric's not here, but they're in this hotel, just two chargers, and they were drawing down electricity from this hotel and there's no monetization.
Oh, wow.
And you don't even know if they're staying at the hotel.
So then how do you go about like educating that audience? Like, hey, this is an opportunity that you might be missing out on.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's first getting an audience with them, you know, but then the second piece, it's money talks, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you say, here's how I can assist you in recovering the cash flow that's going out the door. Because frankly, it's a negative ROI. Not only do they pay the money up front for the capital expenditure to have an EV charger put in, but then it's the add insult to injury. Electricity is going out the door that they're not recovering.
Yeah.
So as multifamily owners that are having these chargers in place right now that don't have a cost recovery mechanism, they're adding it to their common area cost, which gets spread out across everybody.
Yeah.
So they're really funding.
That makes some people angry.
It does, right? Yeah. And it adds up. It might be a little bit now, but what do you do when there's 20, 30 cars in your parking lot and there's a line and everyone's going in, going out, you know?
Yeah.
You look at those supercharger lanes. Now there's waiting lists for Tesla superchargers. It's going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then for you all, as you think about like growing the team, and then go into market.
Yes.
Like what kind of individuals are you looking to bring onto the team? And
I do a mix of senior salespeople and then junior as well. I like to, one of my favorite things to do is get young people into the industry and they get introduced, but you need to position them with a senior person as well. Because, you know, you don't want to be too bold, but you want to be bold. You want somebody that can pick up the phone and call, you know, Walt Smith at Avenue 5 tomorrow, you know? I don't care, I'll do it. But you're like, okay, time out. You know, they think they got the best lead list ever, you know, lead list. But you're like, okay, let's pause, make sure you're about, let's start small and work your way up, you know? But I like to do that and very, you know, honored to say there's a few people that have my other companies that are in great positions in the industry, whether it's at Graystar, you know, other areas. And I just love seeing that growth in the industry as well.
Yeah. Now I'm really fascinated to see that journey and as you guys like grow and kind of test out like the different segments and see what like sticks and what doesn't stick.
Yeah.
This is a little bit like earlier, but are you already thinking about like the data and what you guys are going to like measure and capture?
Absolutely.
And what that might look like?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're spot on. That's what I love as you and I didn't go into it, but before I got in this space on the Oracle side, I was a data architect.
Yeah.
So I was a data architect for Northern Trust, which is our wealth management platform.
Yeah.
It's like the Bush family and the Gretzky and those different families. And I had to architect a platform that could segment between horses, sports cars, and their stock portfolio.
So no, I don't feel bad asking you this then. So what does the potential data look like? Like, what are you thinking about?
It's fascinating. It's utilization. Mm-hmm. It's time of day usage. Something that's coming down the pipeline to everybody is going to be this different pricing categories, electricity. Mm-hmm. So you see these rolling blackouts happening in Texas. What do you do when demand is overwhelmed? Well, you put a price on the demand when people want it. So if people have to pay extra cost to utilize electricity during their peak demand, they'll reduce their utilization. So that's going to happen in Texas. So what's going to happen next is, and we've already built this into our software, and that when you're charging your car, we'll trickle charge it during these peak hours.
Yeah.
And then at 2 a.m, full bore.
Oh, wow.
You know, load it up.
Yeah.
We'll open up the gates. And that'll become more and more prevalent as well.
Yeah.
So that's part of that data analysis is looking at when people charge, why they charge. And then I'll really, you know, this is the most exciting thing to me. I'm actually an electrical engineer as well
for
South Dakota School of Mines.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get there, but next podcast.
Yeah.
So I get really geeked out. I apologize.
Yeah.
So with the what's coming next is called vehicle to grid.
Mm-hmm.
So vehicle to grid is your car, you know, like the Tesla Powerwall battery.
Yes.
Your car is just a big battery.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen is when you have enough vehicles plugged in and these hardware devices, probably about 2 years from now, you'll see this. You can plug in your car and you can reduce your power consumption or optimize it at your home. So you can charge it up at night, get your battery at 80, 90%, and then you can draw it down to 50% during the day, during peak hours, and you can actually make money with your car.
Oh, wow.
So that's called vehicle to grid, B2G, and you'll see that more and more.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's fun stuff, right?
Yeah. Wow. And then my last question for you is around like integration. So for the vacation rental side, you've already mentioned you guys proactively went out, did the 20 plus integrations the systems that they use.
Yeah.
So but on the multifamily side, what are you guys like looking at when you think about like integration?
Yeah, it's fascinating because we thought we might need to have really tight integrations. What we're finding is we really just need, at least today, just a rent roll.
Yeah.
So we're actually just doing a simple CSV getting sent to us. We're talking to some groups about better APIs that have really that exposed, but it's pretty simple right now. Now that's today.
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking about, the learning. Price. Someone's probably going to say, you know what? I need that on my resident ledger.
Yeah.
Tell me if they use 23 kilowatt hours and that goes to utility billing.
Yeah.
So we're not there yet. And that's part of that collaborative conversation. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man. It's like a perfect place to kind of see what all of those players are looking at.
Like,
so you know, like, hey, this is the thing, integrations that we need.
To your point, just before I came here, there was a utility provider came over to our booth and said, I keep on getting these questions about EV charging. Can I pass them over to you guys?
Yeah.
And I said, I was meaning to talk to you as
No, that's what's great about this, though.
Yeah.
It's like we see where those, like, I hate using this word, where those, like, synergies are.
Oh, it's perfect.
How you can, like, work them out.
Yeah, it's applicable. Yeah, you're peanut butter in my chocolate, whatever. Yeah. It's an old school commercial.
That's a good combo. Well, Eric, so fascinating to have you on.
Thank
and
you
I am so interested to see how this kind of like evolves because it's such like a needed thing and
the
demand is like there.
Yeah, I've been enjoying watching your progression as well.
Nice.
It's been
Thank
fun
you.
To watch. And I've been walking across and seeing you doing the podcast.
Nice.
I'm like, someday I will be on.
Well, there you are.
And here we are.
Right,
I've made it happen.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you
for being on.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
All right, thanks,
cool. No, I am so excited to see how you guys have evolved.